Welcome to Disability Talks, a podcast produced by Abilities in Motion. I'm your host, Shelley Hauser. Join us for real conversations and no-nonsense talk from everyday people with disabilities living their most independent everyday lives. Tune in for the latest news surrounding disability, accessibility, and independence, where conversations aren't dissed and stories that need to be told aren't missed. So let's talk. Welcome back, everybody. This is Shelley Hauser, and I'm your host of Disability Talks. Today, I am speaking with Jean-Marc Fragali. He is the head of R&D with WeWalk, which is based out of London, England. This new technology for WeWalk will be for persons with visual impairments. Welcome, Jean-Marc. How are you today?
Thank you very much, Shelley, for the introduction. It really is fantastic to be here today and to get the chance to talk about WeWalk, which the team and I really, really love doing. I'm all good today. How are you doing, Shelley?
It's rainy here. I would assume it's similar in London.
It's rainy here as well. So we can both, we both know the feeling, I guess.
Yes. A little melancholy after the holiday for us. So would you please explain to our listeners today what exactly this WeWalk design is?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so just from the very get-go, you know, our listeners should know that, you know, at WeWalk, we design tech for our visually impaired community, by the visually impaired community. It sounds kind of cliche, but we are visually impaired ourselves. I mean, I'm visually impaired and use a lot of my lived experiences in our product design. Kershad, our co-founder, is also visually impaired, blind since birth. He's a WeWalk user, so am I at night. You know, we have people in our customer department that are visually impaired. We also rely a lot on our visually impaired feedback, as well as our advisors in how we design our products. I know I've said visually impaired so many times in that sentence, it's going to be a running theme. But to begin with, you know, we use the tech, so we understand the problems which we go through on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, we're long cane users. We've been using canes for ages. I mean, it's centuries-old technology, right? It's a stick. And, you know, we just realized, hey, wait a second. You know, the cane is great. Don't get me wrong. We have nothing against a standard cane. It's a symbol of our independence, right? It, you know, gives us ground-level obstacle detection. It's been helping us get out there for years. You know, it's a key part of our O&M toolkit. But we thought to ourselves, hey, wouldn't it be great if we can take this, you know, standard, you know, simplistic utilitarian design, you know, keep all the good stuff the same, but just add the tech bits to it, you know, to bring it up to the 21st century, to give our visually impaired community, you know, better mobility as cities around them, as transport and as technology around them grows as well. And that's exactly what we've done with WeWalk. We've just taken a standard cane, and we've chopped off the rubber handle and replaced it with the WeWalk handle, which is this, you know, sleek device that has all the tech bits inside. The shaft of the cane is literally a standard white cane, and it's a replaceable one. I mean, we ship our WeWalk with an Ambutech graphite cane, you know, that we've just removed the handle off of. So you can choose your tips. You can have pencil tips, marshmallow tips, you know, whatever you want. The entire experience is built off your O&M cane technique and cane training. We're not taking any of that away. We're just giving you this extra bit of technology. And the technology itself is quite simple again. So we've simply taken, we've placed an ultrasonic sensor at the front of WeWalk, and that gives you upper body obstacle detection for things like low-hanging tree branches, signage, poles, things at the bottom of the cane might typically miss. But when you connect it to our WeWalk smartphone app, it becomes super cool, like it even cooler. So the WeWalk smartphone app is completely free to download. Like anyone can download it. You don't even need a WeWalk to use our navigation, exploration, all those great features. But once you connect your WeWalk to the WeWalk app, you can control that whole experience whilst mobilizing outdoors. You know, you can use your WeWalk touchpad to access our like fully from the ground up navigation with clock directions. You can use our exploration features like find out what businesses are around you. You can access public transport all from your cane. So you can keep one hand free. You can use your voice to talk to WeWalk. You can use the touchpad. WeWalk will talk to you and you get obstacle detection. So it's just a really sort of simple experience with your phone in your pocket and you're good to go.
That's really cool. How long does it take a user to get used to this technology?
That's a good question. And I have to say it varies. I mean, it depends what you want to use WeWalk for and how advanced you are with tech as a general user. So from the very get-go, regardless of how old you are, where you're based, when you bought your WeWalk, you know, what your abilities are, we will be on the phone with you, you know, within the first week of purchase to run you through an induction session. And you can have unlimited one-on-one induction sessions. Like we want to make sure you're 100% comfortable with your cane. And the induction session runs you from the very basics through to the more advanced stuff. You know, we show you how to connect your WeWalk, how to connect it to your mobile phone app, how to download the app, what the features are, and how to access each of them. And generally, after that, it just becomes a case of mastering the finer details, like knowing what obstacle detection can do at certain distances, like that microscopic level of sort of, let's make the most out of this, going from 90% to 100%.
Right.
But I'd say the most fundamental thing always is cane use. So, you know, like I said, we're not replacing the white cane. We're just a device which gives you extra features when you need them. And when you don't want to use WeWalk, it's just a cane, right? So if you know how to use a cane, you kind of already know how to use WeWalk. It's just a case of, okay, how do I then use obstacle detection? How do I figure out the touchpad? But at most, it should only take about, you know, 3 weeks-ish, I'd say, to become a true master of the tech that comes with the cane itself.
Okay. Now, here's a silly question. I'm a sighted person with a different kind of disability. Does the cane come in different lengths for different people? Because I'm only like 5 feet tall, but say somebody is more like six and a half. So does the cane come in different lengths so that you can customize that as well?
Oh, 100%, absolutely. And we have different ways which you could do that. So straight off, just from ordering the cane online, you can specify what length you want. We offer a range of different sizes, so do check that out. Otherwise, you know, if you buy a size and realize, hey, I want a different cane, we ship WeWalk with an extra adapter in the box. So not only do we ship an adapter pre-attached to the Ambitech cane which we provide, we also provide an extra adapter which you can use to attach to your own cane. And the majority of canes will work as long as it's not a rigid cane or an air-pressed cane. If your cane is just held together by the elastic string, you know, so most Ambitech canes, you know, most canes out there, it's just a simple case of, you know, untying your handle from your existing cane, putting in the adapter, retying the loop, which we provide instructions for. And then you're good to go, basically. You've got your WeWalk handle attached to your own customizable cane. So loads of different ways to get the right size for you.
Mm-hmm. Do the instructions come in Braille and print?
Indeed, they do. So we have a quick start guide in Braille in the box, but we have actually recently overhauled our entire support page, as well as, coming soon, by the way, support videos and support audio. You might hear a familiar voice on those audio recordings, but where we talk you through all the features. So if you don't want to sort of spend your time with Braille, you know, even on our website right now, you don't even need to have a WeWalk to access this documentation. You know, you can access those instructions, use a screen reader, totally accessible, or even the audio guides that we've recorded if you want a sort of step-by-step walk along. And of course, this is all on top of the, you know, phone in-person customer support. Well, not in person, but you know what I mean, like sort of human-to-human customer support that we do that comes standard with all WeWalk.
Right. How does it connect to like public transportation, say the bus or the train or the tube, you know, when somebody's out and about?
That's a very good question. And actually, it's one that's quite simple. So we use Microsoft Azure, which actually is the same platform that powers MoveIt. It's blown up quite recently. It's a really great app that also has public transit integration. So we have, by tapping into Microsoft services, which already has such a huge network of transit providers, stops, it could be buses, rail, even riverboat services here in the UK, you have access to over 1,500 cities from the WeWalk app. So it's a simple case of opening up your app, tapping the nearby stops feature. Then you can select from different categories, so buses, trains, whatever. Then you get a list of all the nearby transit stops. You can navigate to them with the WeWalk. You can track them, so you can always track a transit stop. And you can actually click on that stop to see what time buses are coming or trains or whatever, and what their final destination is as well. And we're constantly upgrading that. So, you know, we have, for instance, bus timetables coming in soon, train timetables. You can actually see not just when it's coming, which you can do already, but rather what specific stops are on that journey, as well as how long it'll take to get there and where you are through those stops as you're traveling on the transit service. So very exciting stuff. We're always growing.
Is it advanced enough to tell you where staircases are or elevators within the like subway stations?
This is an interesting question. So I guess primarily not, but this is how, you know, we're evolving the product. So in terms of detecting stairs, we will always use your standard cane technique. So, you know, when detecting truncated domes, when locating curb sides, when locating steps, that's just going to be your cane, right? Like we shouldn't need to tell you about stuff like that. However, there are cases where you can use obstacle detection to detect elevators. So when the door is opening, you know, you can tell when the door has opened because the obstacle detection will stop vibrating, for instance. So we have loads of novel use case scenarios. But this kind of gives me the chance to talk about a really, really exciting project we're working on at WeWalk. So with WeWalk, we're constantly improving it. You know, because we're such a software-driven platform, we can do like huge additions to the existing hardware, which is, you know, always free of charge, always comes with the cane. You know, we're all about continuously upgrading the experience. And we have just started a project with Innovate UK. It's funded by our, you know, the British government. It's an innovation program in partnership with Imperial College London and their Centre for Transport Studies, which is a leading university here in, well, across the whole world, actually. It's one of the best. With the Royal National Institute for Blind People, which is our, you know, national body for visual impairment. And we're working on an indoor navigation system that is compatible with WeWalk. So a system that can tell you, for instance, where, you know, help points are, where staircases are, where escalators are, sort of giving you that actual, you know, real-time feedback. And this project has just started. It's an 18-month project. So, you know, we will be done in 18 months. We have to be done in 18 months. But it's a really exciting journey where we're hopefully going to be delivering on that microscopic sort of indoor navigation, which you're kind of touching on here.
That's really very, very cool. So you're just thinking not only of now, but you're thinking in the future. And it's great that you have such a large institute and the government, you know, the whole country's government involved with the whole thing, because I think that will just drive diversity and inclusion across England, you know, and hopefully it trickles over other parts of Europe.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I want to go back to the point you mentioned, which is you're designing for the future. I mean, that really is sort of our vision with WeWalk, that personal hub, that sort of device that becomes a de facto cane. But we always say to ourselves, we're not designing a product for tomorrow. We're not designing a product for the problems of today. Well, we are obviously from the foundations, but we're kind of designing it for the needs of our changing community, which could be 2 years' time, 3 years' time, because you got to design things in advance. You got to think to yourself, okay, what issues will we be facing in 2 years' time? And how can we set ourselves up today to effectively work towards solving this issue so we'll be ready in 2 years' time? So we're not sort of chasing the issues of the visually impaired community, but rather proactively fixing them and predicting them.
You're leading the way. And I think you're doing a great job of it. So with that, I think we are going to take a commercial break and we'll be back on the other side.
Abilities in Motion is a Pennsylvania-based nonprofit organization dedicated to helping individuals with disabilities live their lives on their own terms. Abilities in Motion strives to eliminate psychological stereotypes, physical barriers, and outdated attitudes that prevent social and civic inclusion, as well as promote the independent living movement to empower, educate, and advocate for individuals with disabilities. For more information about programs and services Abilities in Motion provides, call 610-376-0010 or visit our website at www.abilitiesinmotion.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Shelley Hauser, and I am speaking to Jean-Marc Fangali from WeWalk out of London. Jean-Marc, Time called your invention the best invention in 2019, and you guys were featured on CNN, BBC, Mashable, Who Blind Tech, and other agencies. WeWalk has been even introduced here in America. Can you tell me more about some public engagement that you've been working on to promote this new technology?
Of course. I mean, that's a really, really great question. I have to say, I probably speak for the rest of the team when I say this. I mean, I always blush and sort of I'm so humbled by all the recognition we've gotten. And I know the team really, really appreciates it. It's been really, I mean, I almost lost for words. It's been an incredible, absolutely phenomenal journey for us over the last year, but not just sort of for what WeWalk has been recognized for, but, you know, what we've kind of been seeing happen after these awards and after these public engagements, which is, you know, a greater eye, if you'd like, pun intended, a greater eye on the visually impaired community. You know, when we speak to these organizations, you know, we see CNN doing a piece, for instance, on visual impairment. I mean, that's just great in general. I mean, here you have a large mainstream organization, you know, asking these detailed questions, you know, getting this insight into visual impairment, into the tech that we use, into white canes. And I mean, look, in the visually impaired community and the disabled community in general, typically people without disabilities might not know the tools that we use. You know, it's sort of like, oh, okay, a wipe cane is a tool used by a visually impaired person. That's it. You know, we probably don't know more. And because of this public engagement, you know, we really have seen, you know, organizations that typically don't work in disability, you know, asking us more about disability, you know, trying to engage with us. You know, that Microsoft partnership, for instance, you know, Microsoft being an absolutely incredible organization, you know, sort of taking us on board, being project partners with us in another R&D project that we're working on, you know, sort of shining this light on visual impairment and inclusivity. That's such an amazing byproduct just from these engagements. And I think that's really sort of what we see as the end goal here, which is WeWalk isn't just, you know, we're not just making a hardware device for the sake of making a hardware device. Anyone can make a hardware device, let's be real here. But rather, really shifting the focus to the needs of our visually impaired community, going, listen, we need some more tech. You know, we need more user engagement from the ground up, sort of setting best practices for the visually impaired community, increasing awareness, and in the end, helping us reach this end goal of providing our visually impaired community with better access to everyday life, you know, better ability to undertake activities of daily living. Now, be it through a hardware device like WeWalk, be it through government intervention, be it through the indoor navigation system, you know, it's a facet of things. Visually impaired people have multiple tools, you know, everyone's huge sort of disparity between what one person versus the other might use. So, you know, I really have to say that it's been incredible. And I think the engagements that we've been working on have really been helping us get towards this end goal.
I think with how this is advancing the technology for visually impaired and blind users, and you having the government on board and Microsoft on board, I can only imagine that it's going to have a tumble down effect of branching out into other parts of society. Say the tube, the London tube will change and have connections to the WeWalk device. You know, so when they walk into the tube, they are automatically connected to a system through there as well. So I will think that other groups will want to jump on board and just expand this throughout society, you know, and think of new ways. And you guys might even create other partnerships that you haven't even thought of yet.
I think the indoor navigation example is a really good one to actually show how, you know, this universal design, if you'd like, for indoor navigation can trickle down to anyone with different needs. So it could be someone with a cognitive impairment who might need certain instructions to help them navigate a certain space, for instance. It could be a tourist that, you know, just simply doesn't know the language. It could be someone with a mobility impairment that might have specific access needs, such as they might need to use an elevator instead of using an escalator, which our indoor navigation can point them to without having to rely on a staff member. So, you know, it really is this principle of if we can design a technology to work for one group of people, chances are it's going to work for absolutely everyone else. I mean, who doesn't want to have more comfort working in, you know, navigating indoors?
Absolutely. And that's why I'm so thrilled, because even as a person with an amputation, you know, when we traveled to Germany, I was constantly looking for elevators and escalators. I expel 90% energy just to walk every day. So I have to be smart as to how I travel. So knowing these things ahead of time, even for somebody that's a visual person, it would help me. So there's your next project, Jean-Marc.
Completely. Yeah, it's lived experiences of disability that sort of make us do what we do, right?
Yeah.
I want to take it back to the point you said, which is how much energy you expel just to walk. Now, look, not everyone's going to be like that. You know, sometimes you're going to have, especially in the visually impaired community, and I'm guessing it's the same for mobility impairment, which is there has to be a real desire for someone to want to undertake this activity. You have to accept your disability. You know, there's a total 7 stages of accepting your disability and learning how to cope with it, which is, you know, there's going to be denial, there's going to be anxiety. And only then, once you've accepted it, there's a huge mental effort required, you know, just to get out there and mobile. And people just don't do that, you know, especially with visual impairment. And understandably so, I mean, it's such a difficult thing to cope with, especially congenital diseases that take out your eyesight as you get older. You know, you see a lot of people that they just, you know, they had one bad experience, or they realize that their eyesight is getting so bad that they need to expel extra effort to move, that they just don't want to do it anymore. And it becomes a vicious cycle of inactivity. You end up having people staying at home who were once active, but are no longer active because of the exponentially increasing mental effort. And then we move into the pandemic now, where there's extra isolation and visually impaired people, you know, can no longer get that physical assistance, which they typically need to navigate. it can be really, really, really tough. And I'd say we're in a very privileged situation. I'd say you're quite privileged. I'm privileged as well, which is, you know, we've kind of accepted, we openly talk about our disabilities, but we've kind of found a way to cope them. We realize the mental effort. And that's not the case, as I said, for a lot of the wider community. And that's why not just technologies such as WeWalk, absolutely anyone developing technologies for people with a disability, you know, gets the utmost respect from me. It gets the utmost love from us and the team. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just part of an ecosystem. We're a small part of a wider ecosystem of tools and devices helping others to reduce that mental effort, to reduce that anxiety when trying to navigate outdoor. And one which you're very fortunate to be in, for sure.
Yeah. Depression and anxiety seems to come hand in hand when you have a disability in our communities. And unfortunately, it is what it is. But tools like this that create independence, you know, and getting us back out and being confident of being in the community is what this podcast is really all about. So I was really stoked when I found you guys. But I really wanted to introduce the fact that there are tools and technology out there that can get you to go, you know, throughout the mall, throughout the subway station in New York, or wherever you want to go. And it's your decision as to how far you want to go. And things like the WeWalk can get you there, right?
Yeah. And that thing that you just said, which is it's your decision, right? You know, there's never going to be the perfect tool for absolutely everyone. You know, granted, we even say that at WeWalk. We're open to saying that, you know, everyone gets to make their own choices on what tool is best for them. You know, I'm a ID cane user by day, and, you know, God, that took me a while to finally use that. And then a long cane user by night. You know, we all have our different journeys, our different stories. It's just about being knowledgeable and knowing what's out there, knowing what tools work for you, and finding the right tool that works for you. You know, that's why at WeWalk, you know, we're very strong with that philosophy. We're not like, all right, take a WeWalk and absolutely all your mobility problems are going to be solved. Absolutely not. And if anyone tells you that, if anyone sells you a product that says, hey, listen, if you take this tool, it's going to solve all your mobility problems. You know, it's like you're going to be not visually impaired. Like, they're lying to you, right? It just doesn't work like that. That's just not the case. But what we could do is inform our community. You know, we can engage with our visually impaired individuals. We can let them try WeWalk, you know, which we're very open to doing. We can engage with our local councils and local government, which we're always trying to do with WeWalk, raise awareness, get more WeWalks in people's hands just to try it. And if it works for you, which, you know, in most cases it does, and that's amazing. You know, that's like, wow, we've helped someone here. We've genuinely changed someone's life. And if it doesn't, then hey, we listen and go, well, okay, we realize right now this might not be the best tool for you, but what can we do, or even what can others do to try to sort of shift you in the right direction? What would be the right product? What would be the right support that you would require? And it's a continuous learning experience for us. You know, it's not just a case of, hey, we're doing all this sort of thing just to build a WeWalk version, but we're constantly enhancing ourselves. We're acknowledging, you know, our shortfalls, realizing where we can improve. And I can tell you this, I mean, maybe my team don't appreciate this as much as I do, I guess. But because I'm also a doctoral researcher, you know, in visual impairment, as well as my work at WeWalk, any conversation with a visually impaired person is super fascinating with me. It could be about absolutely anything. It could be about fear of falling in a very specific location and the cognitive workload that might have on you. It could be talking about buses and improving accessible design. It could be talking about how we make WeWalk even better, you know, which we always love hearing. It's always a good discussion, because any discussion with someone that's visually impaired, with lived experiences, with unique abilities, you know, is super interesting to us, which is why I'd say, you know, reach out to us. Honestly, you know, we're maybe not at 4 a.m. in the morning, but hey, maybe that's how interested we are in visual impairment. But if anyone wants to reach out to us and just ask us questions about, you know, living life, how to cope with VI, you know, how to use WeWalk, questions about WeWalk and how we can help make technology better, you know, we're all for it. We're super interested in this sort of stuff.
Yeah. I know we say here, if you've met one amputee or one wheelchair user or one person on the spectrum, you've met one person on the spectrum.
Exactly. One person on the spectrum. That's
right. And I would think that that is the same for the visually impaired community as well. Yes.
You have to remember that visual impairment isn't just its own bubble of disability, but rather, you know, it usually comes with sort of other unique characteristics. You know, this could be certain mobility impairments, you know, visual impairments such as AMD, age-related macular degeneration, comes with older age. That might naturally come with a mobility impairment.
Yeah.
You know, it's never just a case of you're visually impaired, therefore we can assign you to a category. Absolutely not. Every user has their own unique abilities. And, you know, as any organization designing tech for society, for disability and inclusion, you really need to have this widespread reach, you know, checking a range of individuals. You'll never make a tech that that matches everyone's needs. And if you try to make one piece of technology that matches everyone's needs, it's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. But rather really focusing down and either making one piece of tech for a very specific group of communities or designing for multiple, you know, sort of people on the spectrum within that community, but making sure your tech is customizable enough to meet those requirements. Again, at WeWalk, we try to do that. So we have low, so that's why we make our app free. So if you're not a cane user, you can download it. You have low vision mapping if you're a low vision person. You know, if you want to use your WeWalk, but you don't want obstacle detection, you disable that. If you want to use a touchpad and not use obstacle detection or use it, you know, we kind of try to do that, but we recognize it's a continuous learning journey. You know, we have to keep fine tweaking it. You know, now we're talking to people that are deaf blind. We're thinking, hey, we, you know, when we first designed WeWalk, truth be told, we didn't think of the deaf blind community. You know, we're so engrossed in our sort of, let's make this for users that are usually completely blind cane users, that now we're like, oh, wow, you know, here's a community which can really benefit from this. How do we do it? And that's an exciting thing for us. You know, we see different users with different abilities as an exciting challenge, you know, as a real potential for innovation and growth. You know, we don't see it as, oh, we didn't think of designing for these guys, or, oh, these guys have different abilities, how will we do this? But we genuinely go, wow, here's another group of people we can actually help. You know, here's another group of people that we can genuinely assist in their day-to-day life. So it's very, I know I've said this so many times in this podcast now, and I do it in all these conversations, but I hope you can hear it in my voice, but it genuinely is so exciting. Like, it gets us up in the morning going, who can we help today?
Yes. And your emails had reflected that over the last year that we've been talking as well, which is why I just kept waiting until the moment was right to get this on the air. So, you know, we talked about safety and people wanting to get out into the community, but to feel safe as well. I believe that the WeWalk has some beneficial features for safety. Can you touch upon that at all?
Oh, for sure. So the primary one really is the obstacle detection. I mean, that's sort of, it's really quite simple, right? So the white cane right now does great for stuff on the ground, but it doesn't really tell you about those low hanging tree branches, you know, anything that might hit your chest or head. And, you know, we've all had stories like this. I've had my fair share of, you know, slightly scarred noses. Our co-founder Kershat, you know, that's sort of where the story came from, of him walking with his cane and bumping into, I believe it was a telephone booth back in New York when he was there, and leaving scars on his head. So just having that vibration, that extra bit of, ooh, there might be something there, which the bottom of your cane has missed. That's a big one. And you can always set the distance for it as well. So you can set it, well, right now we've simplified it to sort of min, low, medium, and high, but the numbers are actually 80 to 165 centimeters. So you can have a very long breadth, essentially. You know, you can have WeWalk picking up walls around you if you really want it to be super sensitive about it. And the way it works is you're just walking down the street, you feel a vibration, you know to slow down, you swipe your cane a little bit more. Oh, if there's nothing in front of you, it's going to be an upper head obstacle. Duck down or sort of slightly move out of your way until it stops vibrating. So you kind of just learn how to manipulate and interpret these different vibrations. And then, of course, you know, apart from that, that's, I'd say, our primary safety feature. We've got the general stuff to help you focus on the road, to help you focus on your O&M rather than having to worry about, you know, taking out your phone, using your finger to navigate a complex voiceover interface rather than through simple swipes, through a touchpad. So navigation, for instance, you put your phone in your pocket, you're focusing on where you're going. You can have a headset plugged into your phone. You can use WeWalk's built-in speaker if you'd like, you know, totally flexible. You can select how often you get notified of turning directions, and you just walk. And you're using the best of your O&M by this point. You're not getting distracted by too many notifications, holding up your phone so the compass is right. You can just put it away. We use the compass in WeWalk. And just that confidence, just that extra bit of, you know what? I've got my obstacle detection, got my navigation running. I'm all good, basically. I've got one hand free, so I can use that to sort of feel out any obstacles if I feel that there might be an obstacle there. And you're good to go. And, you know, we honestly feel it's like it's so simple, but it has such a big impact. And it's great.
What does O&M mean for the sighted community? Because I don't know what that is.
Oh, of course. I know we throw the term around a lot, but yeah, so it's orientation and mobility. So a lot of visually impaired people, especially here in the UK, it's worldwide. You know, O&M is a very worldwide recognized thing. It's like the bread and butter of anyone that rehabilitates and learns how to deal with their visual impairment. And the aim of orientation and mobility training is to get you to mobilize more independently, to equip you with the tools and training required, to let you, number one, deal with your visual impairment in a proper and safe way, but also to get you to just do things in day-to-day life, to seek employment, you know, to be confident enough to get out there, do your own shopping, you know, use your own public transport.
Right. Okay.
You know, it varies from country to country, but it usually starts with teaching you how to get over, well, how to deal with and how to cope with visual impairment. You know, it could be through sight loss rehabilitation. And if you're blind since birth, you know, way earlier on, then you'd be, you know, it's a different program. It varies, really, really does vary. But, you know, it can include things like teaching you what specific features mean on roadsides, for instance, how to cross roads, how to use your hearing, how to look for windshields, for instance, how to listen for bus stops, how to listen for buildings, you know, loads of different things, basically. It's how to use your senses to the maximum capacity, as well as the tools around you and your locale to navigate independently. Mm-hmm. And that's why I sort of go back to WeWalk, which is the white cane for people that need it in you know, O&M training, which is, it's a critical part of it usually. WeWalk isn't meant to change that. So you're still going to go into O&M training. You're still going to have to learn how to use your cane, right? You're still going to have to learn what the right technique is, such as two-point touch or continuous contact. You're still going to have to learn all that stuff. You know, WeWalk doesn't just sort of show up and go, you don't need O&M training anymore because we give you all the tech. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. You know, you're still learning the basic cane technique. You're doing everything there. It's just that you have a different handle. That's it, really.
Once somebody gets really great at using the WeWalk, are they able to listen to music like through Pandora or something while they're using the WeWalk? Or is that too much sensory overload?
So you could. I have to say, I mean, it's not something we'd recommend at all. Usually when you're sort of out and about, at least me personally, I'd have one earphone in, you know, I'd just be listening to my surroundings and walking around. Unless I'm super familiar with an area and I'm not seeking navigation, because if I'm familiar with an area, I wouldn't need navigation, then maybe I might be a bit cheeky and have two earphones in and sort of listen to music as I go along. But for WeWalk, you know, we would just say, you know, as with any visually impaired person navigating, you know, we would say, focus on your environment, listen out for people around you, listen out for the navigation instructions. You could, if you want to, if you really want to. I mean, WeWalk just provides the occasional instruction. You can open up your Spotify, Pandora, you know, play music through your earpiece if you wanted to. Not the WeWalk speaker, just sort of your connected Bluetooth headset or through your phone speaker. But we wouldn't, yeah, we wouldn't, we wouldn't recommend doing that.
In thinking about listening to your surroundings, how does the WeWalk, or how well does the WeWalk work in, say, a mall or a loud airport or a square during the holidays that has lots of music and noise?
So it has to be said, you know, any speaker-based device in a really crowded area is not going to work that well. And WeWalk is no different. I mean, we have a reasonably powerful speaker built into it. But, you know, if you're walking down a really busy street, you probably want to have a headset in. But we've designed it for that specific purpose. So say you're walking, you know, say you're walking down a quiet street, right? WeWalk speakers is going to be perfectly serviceable. But if you get to a busy area, then we've provided you with the options to change that. So if you have a Bluetooth headset connected to your phone, your phone will intelligently stop sending sound to WeWalk and will send all of WeWalk sounds to your headset. So you can use a bone conducting headset, a Bluetooth headset. You can even plug in your headset if you wanted to your phone if it's got a headphone jack. You know, that ancient technology. I'm joking. I miss the headphone jack a lot. It's a great tool. You know, if you unplug your headset, then it goes straight to WeWalk. If you disconnect your WeWalk and just use it like a standard cane and you want to use your phone speaker, can do that as well. You can get all the sound that would have gone to WeWalk come out of your phone speaker. So you really can choose exactly what you want when you want it.
Perfect. So I often forget where I've put my phone. What happens if you forget where you've put your WeWalk? Is there a Find My WeWalk device like on iPhones?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up. It's one of our simplest features, but it's so simple that we never really bring it up in our like really techie podcasts. So we're here talking about like our advanced R&D and using AI for the gyroscope and all that. And sometimes we forget to mention, actually, wait a second. This is like the simplest feature, which we all love. Like we all use it. I use it. But we just don't really talk about it because it's so simple. So yeah. We do have that feature. So if you have your WeWalk connected to your phone And we envision a situation where you just connect your WeWalk and forget about it. So you connected it in the morning, it's connected for the day, you disconnect it at night, charge it up, do whatever you want. But once it's connected, you can use your WeWalk to find your phone. So you double tap the touchpad, swipe to find my phone, tap it, your phone will keep ringing until you find it. Alternatively, if you've lost your cane and want to find it very quickly, just open up the WeWalk app on your phone, tap where is my WeWalk, and your WeWalk will make a sound. So, you know, really simple, but super useful.
Yeah. So I need you to tell our listeners where somebody can find out more about this great technology.
Oh, for sure. So I'd always say the first place is our website. It's always improving, always growing. We've got our support pages there. We've got our contact details there, our support email, which is the best way to reach us. You know, we have our, you know, Joe Alfonso, Aljan, Atkan, all those guys, lovely customer support team. You know, they will answer your questions. Sometimes if it's a super technical question, if it's a feature request, it comes straight to us. It comes straight to me, comes straight to our software product manager, our hardware product manager. You know, we're a team that really circulates user feedback throughout the entire team. So that'll be the best way, you know, that'll be the best starting point. And then, yeah, it could be something as simple as buying a WeWalk, which you could do from our website. It could be something as simple as asking us a basic question. It could be more detailed feedback. We're always happy to listen.
Perfect. And with that, I'm going to say that is it for today's episode of Disability Talks. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. And to Jean-Marc, thank you for joining us and introducing everyone to this technology that promotes independence for millions all over the world.
Thank you, Shelley. No, I really appreciate the opportunity to, you know, talk to your listeners about WeWalk and to, you know, if you're not visually impaired, at least shed a light on visual impairment and some of the interesting technology that's being developed in our space. Yeah. Can't really say anything more, but thanks again.
Thank you. Join me again next time and be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode of Disability Talks.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Disability Talks. Want to keep the conversation going? Then visit our website at abilitiesinmotion.org or connect with us on social media. And remember, don't diss my ability.